We've been inundated with polls on Arizona's U.S. Senate and statewide races, and some of them were taken a little more than a week before today. And in some cases, at least 10% of poll respondents fell into the category of undecided or refused to answer. So with all the clamor around this week's election, which has been ongoing for nearly 2 years in this cycle, who are undecided voters, and how is it possible to be undecided? To answer those questions, I turn to Samara Klar. She's an associate professor at the U of A's School of Government and Public Policy. Professor, who are these people who are undecided so late in an election cycle?
Well, I think a lot of people simply vote for the candidate that aligns with their partisanship, and that's not an unreasonable thing to do. If you have decided that you are a Republican or a Democrat, you've probably done that because you tend to agree with Democrats and with Republicans. So a lot of these people are going to, you know, if they do go to the polls, and hopefully they do, but they will show up at the poll and simply vote for the candidates that have the little D or little R next to them. They haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about who the candidates are, or perhaps they haven't really been exposed to a lot of ads. You know, at the state level, the budgets for campaigning are just so much smaller. You know, there's a lot of people who just really haven't been exposed to it and haven't thought too much about it.
Those of us who are political junkies are so obsessed with it. And,
I know.
And it's been in the headlines constantly. It's hard to believe there are people like that. Is there a way to characterize those people who are undecided at this point? Would you ultimately expect them to end up being party faithful, or are those, as we've seen the increase in independent voters, do the undecided tend to be those who really aren't quite sure and they think maybe both candidates are good, both candidates aren't so good?
Well, you know, when it comes to sort of undecided and swing voters, what we're usually talking about are people who are undecided as to whether or not they're going to vote, and they're swing voters in that they vote sometimes, but not always. But the vast majority of American voters do tend to vote for the same party every year. Even around 75%, 80% of independents, when you ask them, they'll tell you which party they prefer, and that's almost always the party that they usually vote for. So I don't think we're seeing a lot of people who are really deciding whether this year they'll vote Democrat or Republican. That's probably fairly uncommon. They're just trying to figure out whether they care enough to vote, whether they know enough about the candidates to bother to show up on Tuesday.
We saw certainly in 2016, there was the feeling that maybe a number of people who voted for President Trump either didn't want to talk to the pollster or didn't want to share that they were voting for him or whatever that may be. Could we be seeing any of that with some of these folks who just, the ones who say that they're undecided, perhaps just don't want to share the information?
It's possible. You know, there has been so much debate among political scientists as to whether people were lying to pollsters or selectively or systemically avoiding pollsters. I have seen a little bit of work, at least with a college student crowd, that there certainly is some hesitance to admit that you're voting for a candidate that's widely seen as socially undesirable, as Trump was in many circles. But I don't know if that's as much the case. I mean, I think the greater issue is just people who just really are, they've got busy lives and every day is full of all sorts of, you know, busy activities, getting to work, taking care of the kids, getting groceries, that they're just not thinking about the election. I don't blame them for it. I think that can be a very reasonable way to approach American politics. But generally, people tend to use that party cue when it actually comes down to having to pick somebody.
Well, let's dig in a little bit more on the independence aspect. Without question, in order for Representative Sinema to win that Senate race, because of how Arizona is, mm-hmm. she'll have to get a high percentage of independence, a healthy percentage of independence. How much do you think independence will factor into that race?
Absolutely. Arizona really oscillates between having a plurality of Republicans and a plurality of independents. So for a Democrat to win, they really need to get, first of all those Democrats out to the polls. They need to really get their turnout up, and they really need to get the independents out as well. Now, we know that most independents, as I mentioned, do identify or do support one of the two parties. So, you know, about half the independents in Arizona are going to actually prefer Republicans, and about half of them are going to actually prefer the Democrats. But independents are not always as likely to vote. Certainly, they're not as likely to vote as are the strong partisans. So what Kristen Sinema needs to do is really mobilize those Democratic-leaning independents. Now, the best way I've seen to really lure independents to support a candidate is to come across as a particularly civil candidate, potentially more of a bipartisan candidate, somebody who's willing to work with the other side. The messages that tend to really demobilize them are, you know, the strong incivility, the aggressive rhetoric that we see from a lot of our candidates these days.
That then comes to me with the concept of President Trump, because, of course, there's been a lot of discussion about whether candidates actually want him to campaign for them or not, and whether Democrats can use him to really get their base fired up. He is someone, at least based on tone, is someone that sounds like he would turn off independents based on what you said.
Yeah, you know, it's a real conundrum for candidates these days, because I think by using this really aggressive partisan rhetoric, they are firing up the base, as they say. They are really getting their ardent supporters to call their friends and put up yard signs and get to the polls. But they are meanwhile alienating so many independents. And this is a growing segment of the American electorate. So it's a bit of a gamble that they need to figure out for themselves. Is it worth it in the short run, the short term, to get their ardent supporters out to the polls if in the long run they are alienating a growing segment of their base?
What is it that would increase political participation? What would worry me is that people are more fired up to vote because of negative things, as opposed to thinking someone can make a positive difference.
Well, you know, I think I have a slightly more optimistic view of why turnout seems to be increasing in this midterm election. First of all, we've seen a tremendous amount of grassroots activism in the past few years. So here in Arizona, if you think about the teachers' unions and a lot of the grassroots movement that's been coming out of the education concerns for education funding. So I think a lot of these issues really are getting people to become more active. So connecting people to the one issue that really is their passion. That seems to get people to go to the polls. Furthermore, I think there's a lot of real education going on right now about why these midterm elections are so important.
Samara Klar is an associate professor in the University of Arizona School of Government and Public Policy.